Welcome to Transition, Gadgets 360's gaming and pop culture podcast. In today's episode, we have a mix of both gaming and pop culture, which is Fortnite. Now, Fortnite is a game that is made by a developer called Epic Games, known for some crazy things like the Unreal Engine and Infinity Blade, a popular series of games on iOS. Now, their latest game is Fortnite, which has a battle royale mode, which means 100 people also on one island trying to kill each other and trying to win. So yeah, that's pretty much battle royale mode for you. So Fortnite has gone crazy. It's like this year's Pokemon Go. You know, we said a lot of things about Fortnite not coming to Google Play and all of that. Why it will not come to Google Play, and the minute we made the podcast live, Epic Games' Tim Sweeney went ahead and said that, yay, it's not coming to Google Play. So to talk about all of this, we have our games editor, Rishi Alwani.
Yeah, Epic also made Unreal Tournament, which is the greatest first-person tournament shooter of all time. And Jazz the Jackrabbit, which is, I think, according to Mike, one of the best games ever.
Yeah, so...
That was Epic Mega Games.
Oh, yeah. And they used to be called Epic Mega Games, which is way cooler than just Epic Games. Bring it back to Phoenix. So, yeah.
Yeah, hold on. Friend of the podcast, Mikhail Madnani, is the other voice on the show.
Yeah, mega friend.
Yeah, and I'm your host, Pranay Parab.
More like Mega Fiend, but yeah, anyway.
Take it away.
So, as Pranay said, Fortnite's a thing, and it's ridiculously popular, which is funny because it actually released last year. Just to recap for those of you new to the show or new to Fortnite, it was actually announced way, way back, I think almost like 10 years ago, and it was announced by Cliff Bleszinski, who at that time was the lead designer on everyone's favorite dude bro shooter, Gears of War, and the entire Gears of War franchise. I mean, at that time.
I thought you were going to say Lawbreakers for a second.
There. It's too soon. So, after a protracted development period, Fortnite first came out as a third-person cooperative shooter, where you basically craft walls, craft structures, and take down tons of zombies. And what happened was they saw how well PUBG was doing and decided to do a battle royale mode. Their fans wanted it, they did it. And since then, it's become astronomically huge.
So PUBG is PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds.
Yes.
The game that supposedly made this battle royale mode popular.
But then it's not the first one though. I think H1Z1 had it first and a few other games as well. And there was The Culling as well. But anyway, point is, battle royale is a thing. And Fortnite, like most battle royale games, has a 100 player cap. It can also take place in 50 versus 50, and they have even smaller modes. The latest addition to the game, and the one that has caught everyone by surprise, is Playground, where essentially you can create your own structures like Minecraft. It's basically Fortnite meets Minecraft meets Battle Royale. So anyway, the game's been super popular. It's available on Switch, iOS, PS4, Xbox One, and PC. And for the longest time, it has been rumored to hit Android. Now, the moment it hit iOS, Epic Games did say it's coming in September. Now, that release window of summer. And that release window of summer is super nebulous because that could mean anywhere between, March all the way up to August. At least we go by, if I'm not mistaken, by US seasons. Yeah, I could be wrong there. But yeah, August, September is when like the outer limit is. Now, and in that time period, the game's gone from strength to strength. There is essentially a unified code base that runs across all platforms. You get the same experience across every version of the game, obviously with minor differences, such as the iOS version having a greater focus on touch controls.
The interesting thing here is that the experience is unlike PUBG, where the PC experience differs quite a bit from the mobile experience.
Yeah, and so, Fortnite is pretty polished across the board, unlike PUBG, which just feels polished on mobile, surprisingly.
Yeah, so. And now, while that is the case, everyone's wondering to see what the Android version would bring, because usually, and in our experience with Android handsets across the board in terms of price range and hardware spec, is that there is a variance between the high-end Android devices and mid and low. So, now what's come to light of late is that there's been a ton of rumors doing the rounds, and something we discussed in the last podcast, with the game being exclusive to the Note 9 range of the Note 9 from which is Samsung's upcoming flagship. Now, what's interesting is that it's not just the Note 9, but it also would be coming to the Galaxy Tab S4, according to XDA, who apparently have got access to an APK that does a bunch of checks. It checks if your device brand is Samsung, and if that's a first pass. Then it also checks what kind of Samsung device it is, so it does a name check there. Then on top of that, it does two stylus checks. It does a stylus check for a normal stylus, and in case you're using a Note 8 and trying to play the game, or if you have the Bluetooth stylus, which is a Note 9. And it also does a check, obviously, for the device name if it's the Tab S4. Now, with all these checks in mind, it has also been rumored that the game is going to be a 120-day exclusive to Samsung devices, which is 4 months. Now, if this is true, that basically means the earliest you'll be able to play Fortnite is around November, December. And the source for this is Android Headlines. They apparently got the scoop on that. Now, what's fascinating is that you have everyone able to play Fortnite except those on the world's biggest platform. And things get even weirder because Fortnite is skipping Google Play. Mike, take it away.
So, yeah, basically, Tim Sweeney said that Epic wants to have a direct relationship with customers on all platforms where that's possible. Now, where that's possible is important because while Android and PC are open platforms, iOS and all the consoles are closed. You can't sideload games on iOS officially, and you can't sideload games on consoles. You have to sell your stuff through the stores and give a cut to those manufacturers. On iOS also, you can't do anything. You have to give Apple a cut. That's just how it works on the walled garden. So, yes, he did say that they are motivated by economic efficiency. The 30% store tax is a high cost in a world where game developers, 70% must cover all the operating costs, developing costs, supporting their games and all. And he also claims that the rationale for doing this on console where you have to give them 30% cut is because the consoles themselves are sold below cost usually, and the console manufacturers have marketing campaigns and, like, you know, they actually do stuff for the publishers on the platform.
Which makes sense.
Yeah, unlike on Steam, where basically you just put your stuff out and hope, like, Valve flips a coin and they say, oh, let's feature you or something like that, or they throw a dart on a board. Or on Android, on Google Play, where, I don't know, unless you have some titles or some words in your title, I don't think people actually search for your stuff. And discoverability is pretty garbage on Google Play. Every time I look at the store, like, they seem to feature some really weird things. It's not like on the iOS side of things it's much better, but at least when I open the Today section on the App Store, there's about a 70% chance I'll get something good, while on Android, when you look at whatever's featured,
there's a higher chance of you finding some, like, 18 plus near X-rated type apps on the store, especially if you go to the most popular apps section.
Yeah, and I mean, it's been somewhat of a running joke amongst Indian developers about this. Every year at NASSCOM Game Developers Conference, they usually open with the state of the industry. And what's fascinating is that in recent years, you've always had some of these aforementioned 18 plus apps in the top 10 most downloaded. And to make matters even more amusing is that if you even take that aside, most of what people end up downloading are games like Teen Patti and Rummy, basic card games. Clash of Clans. I mean, no, Clash of Clans doesn't even feature.
Oh my god!
Yeah, it's essentially if you look at it from a pure consumption point of view, it's a lot of the games that people are offline that have come online. So it's stuff like Ludo, stuff like Teen Patti, stuff like Rummy that does really well. And if you look at how monetization works on most of these games, a lot of it is ad driven. A lot of it is driven by watching a video and getting in-game currency. And if you look at the revenue developers get from that, it's far lower than the 70-30 split that's promised by the platform. And that's just one problem that developers face. The second thing, as Mike mentioned, is discoverability. Now, Google in India, now depending who you speak to, and this is something I've heard from a bunch of developers off record, Google in India won't feature you on the App Store unless you show them your in-app conversions, and your in-app conversions are good. What this essentially means is, if you have a premium game on the Play Store, you're pretty much dead in water. Because they want to see how well your game scales as free to play, which is why they look at in-app conversions. Which means you could have a game for free, and you could charge people for removing ads or giving them microtransactions. But if people aren't converting, or if people aren't going from free to paid on your app, Google won't feature you. Now this has been and this is hilarious because it basically kills any aspirations of any budding developer. Second thing that comes into play here is that if you look at the Play Store, curation seems to be exceptionally safe. You'll have cricket games which are always there. You'll have Bollywood games that are always there, and you'll have the bigger titles that most people already know about. So you're not finding anything new. You're not getting anything different. And I mean, sure, there is an argument to be made for that you'd rather just show people what they want. But if they already know what they want Why would they even look at the front page? They just skip directly to search, right? And that tends to happen on app stores. Yeah, and what's really fascinating, right? Because right now, if you search for Fortnite on the Play Store, you'll get PUBG. I mean, that's just like one of the weaker examples. But we've seen this misused in the past quite often from less than outstanding developers. Like, for example, and this is like industry knowledge at this stage. The guys who made Ludo King, they've been on the apps, they've been on the Play Store for years. But when it came to Ludo King, they couldn't publish on the Play Store because what they used to do in the past was clone existing games and sell them. Now, so they had to find a different publisher account and publish through there. Then only they were able to do it. Now, that also goes to show that Google in its own has some form of moderation. But then if someone was able to get away with it a few times in the past, you know, able to clone games and sell them and then get caught out for it, it means that their system of moderation is broken. And it's something that Google's even told us in the past, where they pretty much admitted to it. Their then head of the Play Store told us in an interview back, I think in like late 2014, early 2015, that, you know, we just hope that we approve everything on the store in the hope that they're not trying to game the system. And if they do anything untoward, we ban them later. I mean, that's great if you want to show people and tell the world you have, you know, a million, billion, God knows how many ever apps on the storefront. But it doesn't do anything to help users because they won't know what they're downloading. So it's pretty much a dumpster fire.
Yeah, if you put that mildly, I see. So let's get back to Fortnite. Now, what we know is that Fortnite will be available via something called the Fortnite installer. Yeah, and which is not going to be available on the Google Play Store. You're going to have to download it separately, sort of sideload it on your Android phone or tablet by allowing installation from unknown sources, and then you'll be able to play the game. Now, I am not sure how many people will actually bother with that, because see, I do know that there is a vast audience which will like on everything that we do, every app that we write about, every video that we put up, they will come and put in a comment saying that where is the APK, how can I get the cracked APK version of this and all of that. But there is also the really, really big risk that a bunch of casual players who don't even know how to get these things installed on their phone, they will miss out. There's also a greater risk of people enabling this installation from unknown sources and then forgetting to turn it off, so that other apps which are, you know, essentially adware or viruses don't get on their phone.
Yeah, that I agree is a major problem, and it could just make the Play Store worse than it already is, because you'll probably have bad actors come in with Fortnite in the title and, you know, cryptocurrency mining on your device.
I mean, what's stopping people from making a fake Fortnite installer that essentially sits and just logs
Nothing.
Everything
that's,
that you do on
that's,
your phone?
That's what happens. Like, even on if you notice what happened with Steam, someone posted a game and then they updated it and they added crypto Bitcoin mining in it, and it was ruining people's computers and all. And then Valve actually took action and removed and banned the developer. But this happened after this already affected a lot of people. And now that Fortnite is not coming to Google Play for sure, there definitely going to be a ton of fake Fortnite installers and Fortnite showing up on Google Play. And when you download it, it'll probably get you to install some other app or something like that. And unless Epic actually sends, you know, cease and desist to Google to remove some of these things through copyright.
I am very, very sure Epic is going to do that. They will probably have a team of people just sitting on Google Play watching at all the, looking at all the clones and trying to get them taken down.
I mean, there already are a ton of clones in general. NetEase had this thing, as far as I remember, called Fortcraft or something like that. So, but then over here, it's actually going to harm people's phones and all that, downloading from Google Play, because then no doubt people are going to try and scam. Even with PUBG, there are a ton of these things. But what's interesting is Tim Sweeney from Epic was asked whether this had anything to do with the Tencent initiative, because Tencent basically owns almost everything in the whole world right now. And so he said that Epic's efforts to reach users directly on open platforms like PC, Mac and Android are driven by our own distribution needs and aren't related to Tencent's efforts on WeChat and WeGame distribution in China. Now, when Fortnite does launch on mobile in China, it will be through Tencent's own platform, similar to how PUBG also is distributed over there. So yeah, Tencent distributes PUBG and Fortnite and kind of owns a bit of both.
And
so,
also has a stake in Riot Games, which is responsible for League of Legends and Activision.
Yeah, but that's actually quite funny, you know. Fortnite and PUBG are really big rivals. PUBG threatened to sort of file a lawsuit, and I think withdrew the lawsuit later.
Yeah,
against...
I wonder who stepped in.
Yeah, exactly. So it's really, really funny to see that, you know, one company basically is going to have a big say in how the game is distributed in probably the world's largest paying market on Android, which is China. And that brings brings me to the fact that third-party app stores are still relevant on Android. So now, like last episode, we spoke about Monument Valley, where the, I mean, based on the charts that the people who develop it, Us2 Games, they released it, we could very clearly see that the only money that Monument Valley made on Android was through these third-party app stores, most of which were based in China. And over there, the game was launched as a free-to-play game with some kind of in-app purchases. So Android is huge in China, and there is no Google Play in China. So while, you know, all of us are in some ways like crying for all the casual players who love Google Play and don't want to install through third-party app stores or unknown sources, there is always the chance that this move will not backfire as much as we think it would, because, you know, in China, everybody is used to third-party app stores anyway.
There's even more to it. So along with the alleged, reported, or who knows, maybe real, depending when you're listening to this podcast, exclusivity to the Samsung Galaxy Note 9. There's also been some proof that the game would be on Samsung's own app store called Samsung Galaxy Apps, and this was found because the APK files had a payment string related to Samsung Galaxy Apps, which could mean that it would be on that app store as well. Now, another reason for this is because Samsung allows for differential revenues. They allow publishers to earn 80% as well if they're on a specific affiliates program or partner program. And we won't be surprised if Epic's on that, and if it comes to the Play Store, to the Samsung Galaxy App Store in some fashion.
Yeah, so now that you mentioned that, it just occurred to me that Epic has also given itself an epic opportunity to do marketing deals directly with phone manufacturers on Android and preload the Fortnite installer.
Exactly. And for those of you who are unaware, preloading is essentially a situation where when you buy a new phone and you notice an app that's not supposed to be there, but it's there.
And cannot be deleted. And
in some cases. That's which we call bloatware. The phone industry calls adding value and services. We've seen this in the past where Flipkart and Amazon and Facebook and Instagram and Truecaller.
UC Browser
and WeChat have all done deals with various handset manufacturers in India and abroad to allow for their apps and games to be available on your phone without you knowing. So yeah, there is a possibility that Epic could cut deals with manufacturers directly. And if the rumors are true, they've cut a colossal one with Samsung. And what this essentially means is we could also see a situation where the game gets its own variants for different devices. I won't be surprised if we see a situation of where there's, you know, a potato version of Fortnite, as in one which that's, you know, locked in the lowest settings available for devices that are low end. I wouldn't be surprised to see that being a possibility in the near future as well. But what this all means for you is that if you're the sort of person who's on an Android device and wants to play Fortnite, the chances are you're going to be waiting quite a while to play it unless you're willing to sideload or unless you own a Note device. That's what it seems like right now. Because the 120-day exclusivity we were talking about earlier isn't just to the Note 9. So the first 30 days is Note 9, and after that, it's probably coming to the Samsung Galaxy S family as a whole. So maybe S8, S7, Note 8.
Yeah, so that sort of brings me to this new topic which we are talking about on, say, for mobile, it's new, which is DRM. Now, on Google Play, if you put an app, I don't think, you know, the only real check it would do is probably like, has it come from Google Play or not? And then Google will take action if, you know, there's some malware, adware, whatever on it. But now if you think about it, this app, Fortnite, from the Fortnite installer. Now, you mentioned earlier that it'll check for an S Pen or some kind of stylus, whether, you know, your device has it or not. It'll make sure that your device ID matches your phone, what you're using, etc. So this is probably the most popular or maybe the biggest example of DRM on Android, and I'm not really sure where this will lead us. Will this lead us to a scene like, you know, what we have on PC gaming, which is essentially everyone in the pirating industry sitting and cracking some kind of de novo DRM and then releasing the cracked version online and then failing and then trying again and then succeeding? Or will this, you know, actually lead to some policing, which is what Epic wants to do?
Oh, well, I don't think it would lead to a de novo-like situation. The reason we have a de novo-like situation is mainly due to the fact that those games cost money. Here, because it's free to play, it negates that entire argument. What we will see, however, and this is something which has been doing the rounds on the not-so-ethical parts of the internet, is modded APKs. wherein you'll find some smarter than he should be person modifying the Fortnite files to enable them to unlock or get access to currency, weapons, skins, items, and other sort of things. We won't be surprised to see that happen. It's happened with Asphalt 9 even before launch through a certain piece of software called Lucky Patcher, and it's something we reverse engineered and were able to figure out. And we won't be surprised if we see that going on.
But Fortnite is an always online game, right? True. So will they like put some kind of an internet check? And
they probably will. They probably do what Nintendo does, but like more severe. Nintendo doesn't let you play any of their mobile games on a rooted phone, or if you have, I think if you've changed anything or unlocked some stuff, they just don't let you boot it up at all. Epic's probably going to do the same thing. Like they lose almost nothing if they cut out the small group of people who like root their devices often and who try and mod out this. They need to keep their infrastructure free of hackers and free of cheaters. And they've done that so far. This isn't like, you know, where PUBG, they keep saying that, oh, we've banned 20,000 people here, and the Epic just doesn't need to do that. On console, you can't hack anything. On Switch, you can, but the thing is, it still connects to Epic servers in the end. It's not P2P or anything like that. So they'll just ban the account straight up. That's it. You're done. Like, they'll have to make a new account. They'll ban that also if they need to.
Yeah.
But on Android, yeah, I'm not too worried about that aspect of the thing, because people can try and modify all the APKs. You can do that in, you know, games like... like even Asphalt 9, I'm sure Asphalt 9, I haven't played it myself yet, but I'm sure the whole thing is playable, like single player. While it is online only, I'm sure you can play it solo, right?
Yeah, you can play it solo.
So yeah, people will just use this to unlock the cars and play on their own. They won't actually like hinder the game for other people, will they? I don't know.
It's quite possible they can
do that. Okay, so yeah, I've still not played it. But the thing is, when you look at even games on PC like Battlefront 2, look at anything, Battlefield and all, like people would try to do the same thing there, right? But you never hear of these problems. Splatoon 2, you hear of these problems because Nintendo, they take very long to take action on these things. And yeah, people have started hacking their Switches and stuff like that and causing problems and all. But I wouldn't worry about that aspect of it. But yeah, there will be a lot of checks. Like even premium games on Android, like Chrono Trigger and all, they still have online DRM on Google Play to make sure people don't try and pirate stuff or whatever.
So. Yeah, so this brings me to the other most interesting question in this whole discussion. Now, Fortnite is sort of setting the trend here of like going outside Google Play, online DRM, etc. Do you think other game developers will follow suit?
So it depends, because the number one or like whatever the most important ones I'd look at worldwide would be Clash Royale, Arena of Valor, stuff like that. Tencent's Arena of Valor does like pretty like baffling numbers in China. It's probably the most played game in the world when you look at daily active users and all. They've put it up on Google Play worldwide. It's up on the App Store also. Sad thing is the Indian version is still behind the international version and you're locked to playing with people over here. But they've allowed that. Blizzard allows people to play Hearthstone on Google Play and the App Store. You can buy stuff. Apple gets a cut. Google gets a cut. I think Hearthstone's still available on the Amazon App Store as well. In fact, I know a few people who like continue to use it there because you can use Amazon coins and get card packs cheaper and stuff like that officially through partnerships they have with Amazon. But it'll be interesting to see if Blizzard does something outside Google Play now that this is possible. It all depends on what Fortnite does. But Fortnite has the... Fortnite is basically the biggest game right now. So if anyone can pull it off, it'll be them, I'd say.
I mean, a couple of things. One, I won't be surprised if we see companies like Blizzard, companies like EA, companies like Supercell watching closely at what happens here. Arena of Valor, as Mike pointed out, does baffling numbers, but a lot of those baffling numbers are China, and hey, there's no Play Store in China. So way I see it is it's going to be a litmus test. It's going to be a litmus test to see if games can survive outside the Play Store on Android. And who knows, we could see more of this in the near future. What I think is most likely going to happen is we're going to see certain publishers hedge their bets. I won't be surprised if someone like EA or Activision or Blizzard decides to say, oh, hey, you're already in our ecosystem with your Battle.net or Origin account. Why not sideload our games and get an incentive from moving over? And I mean, I don't see why not. They can do that. To me, we can see a tilt in the current status quo, not just with Fortnite. But for example, if someone like Microsoft decides to do this with Minecraft, that would be huge. If someone like Supercell decides to do it with Clash Royale, Clash of Clans, that would be huge. But until we see one of the major developers or publishers make the switch as well, This would seem like a one-off. Interestingly, though, Tim Sweeney did address the possibility of this just being one of Epic's many forays with sideloading, as in the possibility of them bringing the whole Unreal store or their own app store via sideload. You know, Fortnite being the Trojan horse. Right now, they're saying that's not the case and it's a we'll see. But the way I see it, that's a very distinct possibility.
Exactly. So that's what I was thinking right now. I mean, you almost read my mind with that one. Like, what's stopping them from, once you have the Fortnite installer on your phone, what's stopping them from constantly updating it on your phone? It doesn't need to be downloaded again and again for a newer version to come in, right?
No, so here's a funny thing. You need to make sure that the original installer file's on your phone. That's what they've said. But at the same time, there's nothing stopping them from, you know, pushing a message saying, hey, we have a full-fledged store you can download and use. Now, why that's a possibility is if you look at the revenue split on the Unreal storefront, it's 88% to 12%, which is phenomenal. No one's doing a better revenue share at this stage. I mean, sure, you have certain developers that get a higher and lower percentage with various app stores. So that's something Nintendo's Reggie Fils-Aime said. Oh, Fils-Aime, I'm probably butchering his pronunciation.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Is your body Reggie?
Oh, yeah. So he has said that in the past, we do different revenue splits with different publishers and developers. But then on paper, if you're already doing 88-12, well, how much better can it get? And this also ties into a greater theme among developers. I mean, earlier in the year, before WWDC, developers were trying to unionize and get Apple to fix the split from 70-30 to something a little more feasible, according to them. And that didn't happen. But what can happen now is you can have a situation where, you know, assuming this works out, you could have a situation where Fortnite's available, people have sideloaded it, and at the same time, Epic's like, here's our app store with, here's our third-party app store, get what you want.
Yeah, exactly. So, you could also see a situation where some developers go to Epic and say that we'll put like an ad for our game on the Fortnite installer or on the like Unreal whatever thingy they have, and that could end up promoting their game. Or, you know, we could, like, if this game is like hugely popular, etc. I don't know if Epic will do this, because, you know, knowing how they work and all, it seems a bit unlikely. But we could actually see them promoting other games via the Fortnite installer, like you can download and play them via that.
I don't know, because if you actually look at how Epic's run its operations, and if you look at where the revenue is coming from in the game, a lot of it is an in-app purchase, and they prefer keeping people focused on that experience. I don't think they're going to try doing the whole network effect of, using their game to advertise other games. That's not something they've done on other platforms, and I don't think it's something they do now, but the opportunity is still there, and I don't think anyone would want to leave money on the table. So, yeah, I mean, that's what it basically means. We could probably see a big shift depending how this pans out.
Yeah. So, have we covered the minimum spec for playing Fortnite and, like, where we can play it at launch and all that?
I mean, obviously, where you can play it at launch seemingly is the Galaxy Note 9 and the Tab S4.
Yeah, which our editor-in-chief will be covering live. So you can check out all the latest and greatest on that on gadgets360.com.
Yeah, but on like what you actually need on an Android device eventually is you need Android 5.0 Lollipop or higher. So if you have Android Pi, you should be fine. You need 3 GB or higher RAM, which is 1 GB higher than the iOS requirement. And on the GPU side of things, Adreno 530 or higher, Mali G71 MP20, Mali G72 MP12 or higher. And it's basically more GPU than CPU limited. You can read more about the minimum spec on gadgets.ndtv.com for the story. And yeah, basically you need Qualcomm Snapdragon 820 or Exynos 8895, and you should be good. Higher than that obviously would be fine. And but yeah, like 1 GB RAM more than the iOS requirement, pretty expected at this stage. A lot of games require higher stuff on Android than they do on iOS. It's kind of like how if a game runs on a PS4, a similarly spec PC might not be able to run it the same way. That's just how these things are.
Yeah, and it's something developers have told us in the past. We've had the developers from Asphalt 9 and those for Shin Megami Tensei Liberation DX2 say to us that we've had situations where the iOS development has been a lot more stable, and we don't have to worry about giving people more options to tweak their game because the settings are good enough. But on the Android side of things, yes, they have a lot more factors and variables to take into account because of everyone's favorite F word, fragmentation. So because you have Android phones like go from 5K all the way up to, I mean, if the rates on Amazon India are correct, the Razer phone going to 97K. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot of ground to cover. So
but
obviously,
don't worry, man. Fragmentation is going to be fixed with Android 9 Pie, which released, I think, on the same day we're recording this podcast.
Which is, I have my own reservations about that because I don't think it's a new release when all the software features are coming with the Pixel 3.
Exactly. Cool then. So I think we're ready to talk about the games we've been playing this week. I've been playing more of Persona 5. Now I am a grand total of 2.5 hours into this game. I've finished all the tutorial missions.
No,
and
you
all.
Haven't.
I think
two
I have.
2.5 hours is not even the beginning of the tutorial in a Persona game.
Yeah.
Spoiler, the tutorial goes on for the first 20.
Oh my god, okay, fine. So I now know how to fire a gun and all in this game. But unfortunately, while playing, I think my DualShock controller started to hate me and then started randomly disconnecting. So I got to fix that before I can continue playing.
Our listeners might know that Pranay loves to make excuses for not playing games these days. So,
yeah, exactly. Yeah,
well, 2 hours, 44 minutes. Come on, man. By my standards, that's a long, long time in a game.
Yakuza 0 says hi.
Yeah, well, it took
2 hours, 45 minutes. Like, this is Persona 5, which is an actual long game, not the Order 1886, where you're nearly done with it.
Yep.
Yeah, Order 1886, though, I mean, just go to YouTube and watch the game, you know, you're done. Yeah, no real play element in that. Yep. Anyway, what have you guys been playing?
Been playing quite City. A few things. Yes, Pocket City, which is basically SimCity, City Skylines on iOS without any in-app purchases.
Yeah,
looks
just
really
one,
nice.
$3.99 rupee purchase for
yeah,
the game.
Yeah,
that's it.
With plays on both iPhone and iPad, supports landscape, supports portrait. You can even play around with the visual settings and frame rate if you have a newer device. So, like on the iPad Air 2, which is now very old by iPad standards, it runs at an unlocked frame rate, not 60 FPS locked, but better than playing it at the 30 FPS cap. A game is a lot of fun. I just picked it up because like a lot of people have been talking about it here and there and all. And immediately spent an hour playing it, and then I just decided to save and, like, you know, move on to something else. And other than that, like, both of us have been playing Okami HD on the Switch, but we'll talk about it more next week when the embargo is lifted. And other than that, still playing more Octopath Traveler, probably going towards the final area of the game so that I can actually be done with it and, like, move on to something else until they either do DLC or people find some more hidden stuff in the game. And yeah, basically that. Oh, also been playing Overcooked 2, but yeah, more on that in a bit.
So I've been playing the Call of Duty Black Ops 4 beta. It is a lot of fun. Been playing with a bunch of friends over the weekend. Already hit level 12. And I can't actually wait for the next beta to happen this coming week. So I've never been more... I haven't been looking forward to a beta for a very long time. So I'm like kind of hyped to see what happens next week and kind of hyped to see what they do with the Battle Royale mode. The game is a lot of fun. It's incredibly fun. And this is someone who pretty much hates multiplayer in most Call of Duty games. So yeah, I mean, I've been playing a lot of that. Been playing the South Park Bring the Crunch DLC, finished it in a single set in a sitting, which is like, I think, 4 hours, 5 hours straight. But a lot of fun too. Very cool. It's very cool what they do in terms of your RPG classes. It's very cool in what they with what they do in terms of strategy and overall setting. So that was a lot of fun, and it's really cool how they even turn the entire superhero origin story on its head with that DLC. And the only tragic part is, yeah, if you if like me you're playing it on the Xbox One or even if you're playing it on the PS4, there are no separate trophies or achievements for this DLC, much like the Casa Bonita DLC.
Boo.
Which is tragic, but otherwise it is exceptionally fun, exceptionally polished, very cool new additions in terms of new allies and new classes, and it's just a really good time. So we're playing those two, and I have also been playing Salt and Sanctuary, which we talked about last week. Been playing more of that, and yeah, looking forward to Dead Cells on Switch when that hits, I think today.
Oh yeah, so yeah, I forgot, I've been playing Salt and Sanctuary as well, and very nice use of vibration feedback in the game. Plays a lot better than the Vita version. And yeah, because this was ported by Blitworks, who are basically like, what's the company? I already forgot. Bluepoint Games. Yes, they're basically the indie version of Bluepoint Games, bringing out the best ports of indie games. So yeah, they did N++. They're the ones who did Spelunky on the Vita originally as well, which is a fantastic port as well. So yeah, Dead Cells. Yeah, hopefully it should unlock a few hours after we finish recording this podcast on all platforms.
Then, that's all we have for this episode of Transition, and we will see you with another episode next week. As always, don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram at Gadgets360, and you can also send us an email at podcast@gadgets360.com. The music for this episode comes via Magnus Soli Paulson, whose album PPP is where the tracks are from. Thank you so much for listening, and if you like this show, don't forget to subscribe to us via the Google Podcasts app on your Android phone and the Apple Podcasts app on your iPhone. Just search for Transition Podcast Gadgets 360. Thanks once again.